Hello baseball fans and welcome into another edition of the British Baseball Podcast. My name is Matthew and I'm your host, but before we go any further, I'd like to kindly ask each and every one of you to support the show on social media at Brit Baseball Pod, and wherever you get your podcast from, if you could subscribe and leave a lovely little review or message, I'd be forever grateful, as apparently it really helps out the show. Now without further delay, get your kettle on, open up those jammy dodgers that you've been saving for a special occasion, and enjoy the show. So let me take you back a few weeks. I went out for a bit of a run to clear my head and come up with some new ideas, think of some new material, some questions, looking for new guests, when I came across, in the middle of nowhere, a farmhouse that was for sale. Now, the night before, me and my partner were looking over Andy Brown's website at some beautiful art pieces, and we came across some lovely selections that we ended up buying. This linked into us watching a certain movie, and this movie is from 1989. It's a fantasy sports drama. It's written and directed by Phil Robinson, and is adapted from a W.P. Kinsella novel, Shoeless Joe. Now, if you've not guessed it from the title of the podcast episode already, then that description really should help bring it all together. It stars Superman's dad, the voice of Darth Vader, and also a fallen mobster from a Martin Scorsese film. I'm, of course, talking about Field of Dreams. So why am I talking about Field of Dreams on a British baseball podcast? Well, let's go back to that farmhouse. Biggish house, quite a fair bit of land. And I got to thinking, what would it take to be able to do the Field of Dreams here in Manchester? All I really need, dead simple, is an eccentric multi-millionaire or a billionaire. And then my mantra became, if you tweet it, they will come. And guess what? Nobody came. Of course nobody came, because nobody's that daft. But I still wanted to see what would happen if we did this. So I put the feelers out. Completely didn't expect anything to come of it. And then my guest today reached back out to me. And, well, I'll let the interview do the rest of the talking. Enjoy. And joining me today on the British Baseball Podcast, I have a very special guest. I'm joined by Mr. Roman Weinberg, the Director of Operations at Go the Distance Baseball. Roman, how are we doing?
Good, Matt. Thanks for having me on the show.
No, thanks for agreeing to do this. Would you like to start off by telling us a little bit about yourself and how you got into the job?
Sure. So I have been such a big baseball fan all my life. I would constantly be at my grandparents' house, and some of the iconic sounds that still resonate in my head are the voices of Pat Hughes and Ron Santo, the broadcasters at the time for the Chicago Cubs. And I'm a big Cub fan, grew up a Cub fan, went to minor league games all my life. So baseball has always been a big part of my life, and have always been a big sports fan. And went to college at Loras College in Dubuque, Iowa. Got my degree in sport management and business administration, and knew that sports was the direction that I wanted to go in my career, and more of the professional side of it, behind the scenes, the people that are behind the operations of a sporting event that you don't ordinarily think of. And that's where I like to be, in the shadows. So grew up in Dubuque, Iowa, just 25 miles east of the Field of Dreams. And hadn't been there until I was about 13, went for the first time with my family and my brother, played catch, and it was just captivating, right? You're in a whole nother world, and right there I knew that this was such a special place, even as a teen, not fully understanding the power or impact of the site, as I was so young, it's impossible to at that age, but you realize right there it's something more than just a baseball field. And I knew that it was going to have a bigger part to play in my life. I just didn't know when at that point or how big of a role it would play. But when I was going to school, it was rounding up to be about my senior year at Loras, and I needed a summer-long internship. And I attended the 25th anniversary of the movie at the field in 2014. Saw Kevin Costner. Bob Costas from NBC Sports was there, famous sports broadcaster, several other actors from the movie. And I was just, again, brought in and sucked in again. And I knew that that is something that I had to be a part of. If I could run an event like that, that's my dream come true. So I right there was destined to just be a part of the field. And I got my internship with Go the Distance Baseball, who owns the Field of Dreams movie site, in 2015, and have been there ever since, working pretty much at any capacity you can imagine. I've done anything from chalk the lines and drag the infield to orchestrate sponsorships and coordinate events, hire our intern staff. So a little bit of everything, and started as the director of operations in 2018. So going on my second full year here, and it's just been a dream and been a pleasure to be a part of something bigger than yourself. And
awesome.
Yeah, it's a lucky job for sure. Every day is something new.
So what does a director of operations do?
Wears many hats for sure. I am the only full-time employee of our organization. We have 10 employees total, but 9 are part-time. So really trying to just delegate a lot. And we have a great team that loves doing what they do every day and just trying to, you know, in essence, what I do is try and pass on the magic of the field and keep the field alive. And that's through many different tasks and, you know, marketing, budgeting, but also events and trying to create magical experiences for people all over the world that want to come and visit the Field of Dreams. And that's, it's part of what I do, and it's a pleasure.
Love it. So do you live on site or do you have to commute in?
I wish that I lived on site. I live in Dubuque still, 25 miles east. So it's not a bad commute. It's about a half hour every day.
So what's the house used for at the moment? Is it just like a gift shop or base of operations?
Well, it's funny. It has served many purposes. So just to give your fans and listeners a little bit of a context, the movie site was owned by the Lansing family. Don Lansing, he was a bachelor at the time when NBC Universal came out. Well, at that time, it was just Universal Studios. Since then, they've been bought out by NBC, but approached Don about using his site as the set for the Field of Dreams and carving a ball diamond out of his cornfield. So it was a ride for him, and he had owned the property until 2012 when the sale was finalized, and Go the Distance Baseball, the company I work for now, bought it. So it changed hands. And since then, the Field of Dreams farmhouse was used as office space. But in 2017, we actually converted the main floor and brought it back to life. And now it resembles what it looked like in the film. Tried to basically emulate every slight detail from the movie. And we were just analyzing hours and hours of film from the movie, trying to make it picturesque, right, to the slightest detail, to a T, of what it looked like in the Kinsella family farm. So we now have that available for home tours 7 days a week, 359 days a year. And the second floor of the house was used as our office space. So 2012, in the early years, the main floor was used as the office space. Then we moved upstairs. And now we just got moved again to another building outside of the farmhouse. So for the first time since the Lansings owned it, the farmhouse is now kind of going back to exactly what it is, a farmhouse. And the tours will be available on the main floor. And then the really neat feature and product now that we're offering is fans can actually stay the night in the farmhouse upstairs. So we're remodeling and renovating the entire second floor to an Airbnb type format and venue for fans to enjoy.
That's amazing. Yeah, that's been, I love that you've converted the set back to, sorry, the house back to how it was in the set. It's sort of like what they did with the Millennium Falcon in Force Awakens.
Yes.
When you went and studied everything and
pieced
it all together. Yeah.
Yep.
I bet
Harrison Ford and Chewie come back, and yeah, it's great. It's great. I'm a big Star Wars fan, so.
Yeah, sorry you cut before, so I thought I'd put a Star Wars reference in there for you too. so what sort of events do you run from the location?
A little bit of everything. You know, we started doing, you know, the main events that we've been doing essentially from the beginning are anniversary celebrations, right? So the big monumental anniversaries, the 25th. We had a 30th anniversary celebration last year. Dwyer Brown, who played John Kinsella in the film, comes out for pretty much every anniversary, and he's been out several times and enjoys it. In fact, we've had him on our podcast as well, the Dream Nation show, and he joined us for a YouTube channel live interview last week. So definitely check that out. Field of Dreams movie site. That's our YouTube channel. But, you know, started with those. And then back in 1990, I'm going to go off on a tangent here, Matt, if you don't mind, but this is a great story, is a group of local guys. So you got to remember back in 89, when it released in theaters, April 21st, 1989, 2 weeks later, people started coming to the field unannounced, right? And no one knew the impact that this movie would have or that the field would remain after the film. But the Lansings didn't really have a choice, right? Because people all over the world are coming to this field. And it just kind of, like the movie, if you build it, people really did come from everywhere. And it just spoke to people. And right away, a group of local guys, they played college ball, high school, semi-pro, group of friends that knew each other very well, all local in the area, decided to come out of the corn and order vintage 1919 Black Sox uniforms. And they called themselves the Ghost Players, just like the movie. And just like those guys, they came out of the corn and started playing catch and interacting with fans, right? And put on this kind of comedy show. So it word of mouth, there was no social media back then. So it was just such a different world, but it still caught fire and word of mouth just spread about the Ghost Players. And all of a sudden the Lansings are getting requests and knocks on their door. When are the Ghost Players coming back? I want to see the Ghost Players. So it did. They just had a legacy very quickly of the Ghost Players. So they came out and they have since then have traveled all over the world. They've been to all 50 states and have been to over 100 different countries around the world preaching the lessons of the movie. So now, still, they hold what we call the Ghost Sunday shows at the Field of Dreams on Sunday afternoons throughout the summer. There are two this year. They've been doing it a while, so they can't do as many as they used to do. It takes them a little more to warm up and loosen up now, but they still enjoy it. And they come out of the corn, they get the kids involved playing on the bases. And it's just, you know, it's what baseball is, right? And it's what the movie embodies. So it's pretty cool to see those guys. That's definitely a fan favorite, but we've been branching out with different events now. So we did a military appreciation day last year and had Joseph Wooten, who is a famous musician and a pianist for the Steve Miller Band. He came out and performed live, and we had a game between some of the Special Forces soldiers and Green Berets of our United States military come out, take the field, and play a game of softball. So it's our unique way to give thanks, right, and to our nation's heroes, and we're doing the same thing for first responders this year. So, and we do charity events. It's just, we find that it's a platform that we have to put the spotlight on events and other causes that are so much bigger than the game of baseball, right? And the field brings people together, and our movie site does that. So we're really trying to capitalize on that and just shed light on some of those bigger issues and causes.
Yeah. Great stuff. Lovely work. You've got an MLB game scheduled as well, apparently, if it
There's
all
a
goes
game?
Ahead.
Yeah.
I've heard rumors.
Yeah, I hear that. And no one wants tickets, right?
No, I can't imagine anyone wants to turn up for that.
Yeah. So, of course, I mean, that has been, you know, first off for me, too, that was a whole whirlwind when the announcement was made because 9 days later, I got married. So I was, you know, everything's blowing up. People are going nuts. And it's just, it was great. Right. It was a shot of adrenaline, shot in the arm, but it's like, oh my gosh, I'm getting married in a week. I've got a wedding to finish, you know, planning for and everything. And then I'm off for a week in Florida for my honeymoon and everything is going down with this MLB game. So it's the timing couldn't have been worse, but it was certainly awesome. And for us, you know, we've kind of come to terms with the decision's not in our hands at this point, right? If the game has to be postponed, it's for the best and everyone's health and safety. That's the top priority. Major League Baseball understands that, and they're going to do, first off, what's best for the sport and the league and the season and the health and safety of all the players and teams. And yes, if that means postponing or canceling the whole season, they will do that. And we're going to honor whatever decision and respect whatever decision they feel is right. And at that point, you know, it's still going to have a huge impact on the area. Whenever that game is held, it's still going to be a spectacle. So, you know, if it's August, if it's next year sometime, it still will be great. I would love to see it this year because I really think it could be a turning point for not only the country, but for the world, and to help ease people back into everyday life and give them some glimpse at normalcy again. Of course, if it's safe to do so, but yeah, it's crazy to think 30 years later, right, in a Major League Baseball game for the first time held in the state is at this little baseball field in rural Iowa.
Yeah, it would be an incredible thing to see. I still hope it goes ahead. I think everyone who's listening on knows about it really wants it to go ahead. Is there a special field being constructed for that particular game, or are they actually playing on the original Field of Dreams set?
I'm glad you asked that. Yeah, a lot of people ask that too, and they are actually building a new diamond. So logistically, it would not work for a game to happen on the actual field because they would have to plow out more corn and people, you know, that field means a lot to not only me and my staff and everyone who works there and in the area, but people all over. So if you mess with that field, watch out, right? So 8,000 people sitting around that field wouldn't exactly work. So they have to create a new diamond, and it's about a football field's worth away. So about 100 yards away from the actual Field of Dreams beyond left and center. So, and if you look online as well and search Field of Dreams MLB game, you'll be able to see actual digital renderings of what the actual finished stadium will look like. And the great thing for us is it's a temporary stadium. So inside a week after the game is played, that stadium will be torn down and only the field will remain. So when you're there a month after that game is played, whenever it is, as a fan and a tourist of the site, you will not see the stands. You will not see a stadium out in the outfield. You'll just see corn like it was always meant to be, like it will remain that way. And that's important to us. We want to preserve it. But also, as you'll learn and we'll touch on later, is, you know, we have a unique vision and unique plans to help bring it to another level and attract the next generation of baseball fans and players to the field.
Brilliant. Lovely. I really do hope it does go ahead.
Yeah, me too.
So why do you think the movie's been such a big hit 30 years later? It shows no signs of slowing down. It just seems to be getting bigger and bigger.
Well, and that's crazy too, because in 2012, we averaged about 80,000 people a year annually at the site. Wow. And since then, we have increased significantly, steadily increased the average attendance. And last year, we hit the highest ever in the history of the site since its inception, and that was 130,000 people. So it's incredible, and it's humbling to see just how popular it remains to be. And it goes in cycles, right? It ebbs and flows. And I think that when you get a movie like that, that's just so touching, and that's it, right? It's not a baseball movie. You ask anybody, what resonates with them from watching the movie is that bond between father and son and just all of the hidden lessons in it, right? There are so many. Take your pick, right? Go the distance. There it is. Pursue your dreams. No matter what anyone says, listen to that inner voice. Do what makes you happy and go out and don't let those naysayers deter you, right? From your potential and reaching your potential. There's, you know, the power of righting old wrongs, right? And being able to make up for your mistakes. And that's one of the great gifts of life, is that, you know, hopefully we're here tomorrow, but it's the fact that we have a tomorrow, but you still live for today, you know, trying to make up for things that you've done and take advantage of those moments that you have right now, while you've got them, and just so many things, right? So it speaks to a little bit of everybody in all walks of life, because there are so many lessons there, and it touches people in its own way. And I think that's why it's so popular still, and why the movie site is so popular to people. It speaks to people all over again. It's like the movie site and the movie are two different entities, right? Like there's a different awe with both, right? The movie site itself is spiritual in its own right, because when people come, they were so emotionally invested in the movie, right? And they come out and you can feel, you can almost feel the spirit of loved ones, right? Of their loved ones that they're bringing with them and everything just kind of floating in the air. And you can just, there's something very spiritual about that place. And no matter what is going on in their life, it just kind of disappears. It fades away for a while. So I think that's it with the Field of Dreams. It's like sports. It speaks to people on a different level. And the original, you know, those that grew up with the movie are passing it down to the next generation. And that's the sign of a true great film, but a great cause and something that is just bigger than what it turned out to be or what it started as. And that's what the Field of Dreams is.
Good. Yeah. Brilliant. I love how it's kept it. Like I said, it's like a spiritual thing. No, yeah. No one's approached you to sort of ask if they can remake it or do a sequel, have they? You know, tell them, no.
There have been plenty of questions about that. You know, people are asking, when are they going to do a sequel? I'm like, I really hope they don't do a sequel. It's just one of those you just can't touch, I feel. You know, that. But hey, there have been plenty of great movies that have been redone, and I don't think they should have. So hope we never see that, but you never know.
Yeah, well, if you hold the power, you can make sure it doesn't happen.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So one of the Great Britain baseball team head coaches, a gentleman called Drew Spencer, he's been tweeting out recently while all this lockdown stuff's going on for people involved in baseball to tell him their favorite memories of baseball. What memories and special stories have you had yourself from your time at the movie site?
Oh man, that's a difficult question because there are so many. You know, what I try to do, I'm in my office, and last year when our offices were in the farmhouse, my office was right next to the bay window on the second floor where Ray Kinsella is staring out the window looking for Shoeless Joe and can't sleep. So I have literally had for 2 years the best seat in the house, overviewing, you know, overlooking just people playing catch and everything else. So what I always try to do though is take a step out of my office and at least 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and have at least one conversation with our visitors out there. We call them the dreamers, right? And we mean that in a good way, in every sense of the word. And we get out there and I talk to some of the dreamers that come out to the movie site and just hear what they have to say. And for me, I don't know if this is the best moment, but this is one that always sticks out into my mind is, and this just happened last year. So we had a middle-aged guy and his mom in a vehicle, and it was in late fall, so it was pretty chilly. And they didn't get out of their car, at least I didn't see them get out. And he rolled down his window. I was walking by, and I just talked to him, and they were both, you know, filled with tears, and I could sense that right away. And just, you know, gingerly approached them, asked them how they were and everything, and they had never been. So it was the son and his mother, and the son's father had passed away just last month. So they came and you know, brought his ashes to the field and just wanted to be there and bring him to the field to experience it because he always wanted to go. And you know, it's those things, right? That's why it's spiritual, because it's so much more than a field. It's, you know, I've lost people in my life too, and I think it just speaks to everyone, and it brings people together. So the fact that you get people at their rawest point, I've seen more grown men cry in my job, right, than probably anybody else, just because of the power of the field. So it was that, but also I would say points that stick out of my mind is when John Kinsella, Dwyer Brown, comes back on site, right? Because when he comes back, he interacts with people, and he, like the Field of Dreams movie site, gets people at their rawest emotion, because he is like the peak of that movie, right? He is the resolution. He is the solution at the end of the movie. He is the resurrected father. So he's John. And do you want to have a catch? That's the most powerful point in the movie. And everyone kind of relates to him. And he is the guy that they see him. They know who he is. Maybe they can't pinpoint right away what he's from, but they can tell right in their subconscious. So when he's on site, he takes 5 to 10 minutes with everybody. And he has lines of, you know, 50 people long. He signs, he has a book written, If You Build It, based on his experience of the film. And he'll come out and he'll sign and take pictures with people. And he will almost console people, right? It's almost like a confession a little bit, just of him being able to hear people's deepest stories and deepest, darkest, you know, kind of secrets that they haven't really told anybody else. But for some reason, they feel like they can talk to Dwyer. And to see that, it's a beautiful thing. And it just brings joy to so many people and to Dwyer Brown, too. So it's having him on site really shows what the movie is all about.
Yeah, what a lovely, lovely tale. Have you had any celebrity dreamers crop up on site, or is it?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Is it joyful public?
Yeah, so that I'm glad you said that, because that brings me back. I didn't get here, but we have celebrity events as well. So kind of going back to the events, we have an annual event. It's called the Team of Dreams event at the Field of Dreams. It started in 2013, and throughout the years, we've had numerous celebrities come to the field and just be a part of it, but play a game. So the Team of Dreams event is a day-long event where we have former major leaguers, many of whom are Hall of Famers, and other celebrities, right? We've had Charlie Sheen come out from 2 and a Half Men, and boy, that was something, I tell you. But we've had, you know, Hope Solo, who is an Olympic women's soccer goalie. We've had many, many actors, actresses. We had the six stars from The Sandlot actually out last year, and
awesome.
three actresses from A League of Their Own out as well. So we have pretty much anyone and everyone who is iconic in the sport of baseball and the world of baseball out to the field. A few haven't come out, but you know, just some that have been out. For example, David Ross was out here last year, and that was just a month before he was hired as the manager for the Chicago Cubs. So he came out. We've had Cal Ripken Jr. We've had Johnny Bench, Wade Boggs, Reggie Jackson, Frank Thomas, Jose Canseco, Rafael Palmeiro, Robin Yount. Just so many icons in the world of baseball that people grow up watching on TV, right? So when you get the Field of Dreams itself, which is a magical place, and then you add these celebrities onto it, it's a beautiful day. So that's probably my favorite event of the year, honestly, because you get these guys that have stepped foot on every major league diamond, right? And at their time, and for whatever reason, you know, this field is just as special to them, and they have as much respect for it as any other diamond that they've stepped on. And they have as much respect for it too, and gratitude that they get to be here and play on that field and entertain people almost as much as the fans themselves, which is great. So that just shows the power of it. It doesn't just relate to, you know, I think the field proves that we're all human too, right? We're all, doesn't matter where we come from, doesn't matter how successful, what our accolades are. We're all people. We all have emotions, and we all have connections, and we all have a heart, and it brings out the best in people and brings out those raw emotions. So it's cool to see those guys kind of let loose. It's like a spring training kind of atmosphere that day. So yeah, it's been fun. We've been blessed to have a little bit of everybody and a lot of celebrities out at the field.
Have you managed to meet any of your own sporting icons?
Well, you know, as I said, I try not to show my bias, but I am, as I said before, a Cub fan. So meeting David Ross shortly after, you know, just recently after that 2016 World Series championship was pretty special. So, you know, it's important, right? I'm I try to be very professional, and we all do. And I got to rein in some of our interns that come in year out and see these celebrities. It's like, hey, all right, he's just Jose Canseco. Let's shake it off. All right, go get him a sandwich, right? It's just so you know, but it's cool at the end of the day when it's all said and done and these guys are in their RVs and Winnebagos and heading out. It's just like, you know what? That's what it's all about. And at the end of the day, that's when you can appreciate it. And yeah, so I've met a lot of my idols at the field, and it's just been a pleasure, and it spurs you on, right? It's a shot in the arm and keeps you going. That's why I do what I do. That's why our staff does what we do, because it means a lot to a lot of people.
Yeah, it does. The movie's got a cast of supernatural characters in it. Have you actually witnessed anything supernatural? Have there been any stories of any supernatural happenings on the movie site?
Oh man. No, thankfully. But I will say it is quite spooky to stay overnight in that farmhouse. I have a few times, and it is just eerie. There's nothing else going on, but you know, I don't know. It's surreal to stay there overnight. It's a 19th century farmhouse, and it's creaky, right? So the wind and everything in the floorboards, you can hear the creaks and everything, and you hear cows late at night or early in the morning. It's creepy. I would say not supernatural, but something beautiful that you rarely see at the field is the fog will roll in from those farm hills at night as the sun is setting, and the whole outfield will be consumed by this thick fog, just like the movie. Yeah, so it's pretty cool to see that. I wouldn't really say supernatural. I haven't heard any voices, so I don't know. I'm still sane, I guess.
Well, that funny enough, that brings me on to the next part of the show, is about my sanity. Now, I was interviewing a gentleman called Andy Brown for the show, who is the artist,
Oh.
does baseball stadiums. It was when we're looking on the site at Andy's stuff, my partner decided, like I said, well, should we watch Field of Dreams? We've not watched it for such a long time. So we settled down, watched the movie. I went out for a run the next day. And funnily enough, I went around some secluded paths in the middle of nowhere, and I came across a farmhouse for sale. Now, I must stress that this is just a total fantasy, make-believe thing, because she was actually worried that I was going to try and find a billionaire that was bored to try and get 5 million quid off to build
Right.
this. Yeah, we should maybe think it'd be quite a fun segment to do, which is our paths to come to across. So, if I wanted to be the Manchester Raking seller. Which is quite a mind-sounding name anyway, Raking Seller. What
That's
would the
right.
ideal location look like? How much land would we need? And what sort of buildings would you recommend to have?
Oh man. Well, Ray Kinsella was what everybody assumed at the time was nuts, right? So it would have to be a location that you would never think a ball field will be placed at. So, you know, I've never been to Britain or London, never been to that part of the country, never been outside of the States, unfortunately. Hopefully that changes soon. But you know, if you guys have a lot of farms out there, I would say definitely it has to be a farm, right? So if it's corn, if it's hay, it doesn't really matter. You got to put a ball field there. And you need the farmhouse. I would say, you know, if you build it, they will come. So you need a gift shop. You need restrooms, you know, you need all that stuff. I would say a concession stand is important too, because who doesn't want a ballpark hot dog, right, at the ballpark, and Cracker Jacks and all that stuff. Obviously need clubhouses, things like that, far enough off the field so the field still has that serenity and that serene aspect to it, and that tranquility. But yeah, I'd say that's what you need.
How much land does the actual diamond and surrounding areas take up? Is it the size of an actual baseball
It is.
field?
It is.
Yeah.
So some people are surprised at it, right? When they built it, it was smaller. The field now is larger. It is throughout the years, we've actually expanded the outfield. So it's about, I'd say 30 feet now larger. The distance to center is about 30, you know, 30, 35 feet longer to start. So the field was quite small originally. It was about right now. The distance to center is 375, and it's 300 to left and 315 to right. So it's pretty big, you know, MLB spec field, really. It's just the hills that you need to worry about. So yeah, that kind of gets into it too. You need somewhere with a flat, flat landscape. If you're going to be playing professional games there, definitely need somewhere flat. The hills are kind of troublesome at our field, especially when we get teams playing.
So the 4 acres of land that this farmhouse comes with should be more than enough.
Yes, for sure.
Awesome.
That's it.
What's involved in the construction of the actual field itself? How long did it take? Because if you watch the movie, it looks like it took Ray a weekend all by himself. But how long did the actual construction take?
Well, that's the crazy thing. Yeah, dozens of people working together from local high schools and local construction companies, excavators, grading companies. They came out and within, I've heard anything from, of course, I wasn't around at that time and was too young to remember, but I've heard anywhere from 3 days to 5 days to 7 days. So I'm going to say about half to a full week to construct. So it was surreal the fact that they got it done that quick.
Reckon. And you said that you're one of 10 staff. What did the other 9 member staff do on site? Are they like groundskeepers, people that tend to the field?
Some, yes. So a portion of those, a portion of that staff are groundskeepers. We have secretaries as well, two secretaries to assist me with the day in and day out operations. We have a merchandise director who deals with orders and retail sales, but we also have our tour guides. So I don't know if for this farm, Matt, you're going to need tour guides unless, of course, you make a movie out there, right?
No,
Maybe, but
no.
yeah, so you can cut the tour guides, but you're definitely going to need more security if you're holding games and everything out there. So,
Yeah, I suppose that's something I should add to the fictional list that I'm not making, Jocelyn. So do you think it's fair to say that I should be asking these eccentric multimillionaires and billionaires for about £5 million, about $6 million? Think that'd be enough to cover it?
I mean, it depends on how simple you want to get. Or how elaborate you want to get.
Well,
What's your capacity?
I don't think I need a dome. I don't know. It's just funny. Like I just walked, ran past it, and straight away I was just like, out of curiosity, I'm going to see how much this place costs and what it comes with. And then the more I looked into it, I was like, I'm just going to do it. If you don't ask, you don't know. If you build it, they will come. If you tweet it, they will come. Guess what? Nobody did. I guess people aren't that daft. But I like to get it in like a parallel dimension. There's another version of me that sat there with 5 million quid and an upset fiance going, great, now I've got to buy a farmhouse. But yeah, I suppose you could always look at doing it on a budget. So
Yeah, what's your capacity?
I hadn't even thought about it. It was just going to be a case of, well, in my head, I suppose I thought it, because there's a centre in London, just outside of London, at Farnham Park, which is a beautiful ground. And then there's not really anything. The Newcastle Nighthawks baseball team was sort of building a structure or something up in Newcastle, right in the north of the country. So I thought midway point, Manchester could be like a centre of excellence. I joked before about not having a dome, but like with it being a farm, I wouldn't want to completely destroy everything that's there. But I thought if we get like into wind farming or something ridiculous, something that would need that much maintenance, it could also power the site. And so people turn up if people want to play games there, like they do at your Field of Dreams. They could play games there, or if they wanted to hold like actual tournament play there, then it would be available because the location for it, you could get a coach down there for dropping people off. It'd be paying to turn it around, but you'd be able to drive down it. But like I say, it was just all fun. I never really thought into it that seriously until about 10 minutes before we started recording.
Hey, that's okay. You start somewhere, right? That's where Ray started. I would say I'm thinking some grandstand bleachers, right? Kind of like a league of their own in that stadium, in Huntingburg. So, if you start there, start simple so people can come out. And if you host just exhibition games out there, recreational games, or you could even have the Nighthawks out there for a game and have that be a venue, right? For some kind of a championship or a tournament and start there and just really create its own legacy.
That's pretty much all that I have for this. I thought I'd have more questions, but you pretty much ticked all the boxes that we've gone through, and it's been great chatting to you. But when I put the message out there, I was doing this, I got quite a lot of listener questions coming in. So the GM of the Liverpool Trojans, Ian Bleece, has messaged in saying, we got some great diamonds all over the country, but we struggle to get them and keep them flat. Bad hops means that we often end up staying back on the ball and developing some really bad habits. What tips do you have to build and maintain a decent infield?
Oh man, that would be for my groundskeeper. So Al,
Groundskeeper.
my groundskeeper, yeah, I'd say get a decent groundskeeper. But obviously, natural grass and things like that for your infield grass is what you're gonna want. For us, our field isn't particularly fit for professional games, so it bounces as well. We have that problem. Like I said earlier, our field is quite hilly. So I would say, it's all about the material of your infield and trying not to get pools and, water. You need a great drainage system, and you need absorbent material to help that bounce as well. So definitely consult with your groundskeeper.
Tracking. David, he submitted quite a few questions, which have been brilliant.
Yeah.
What will happen to the new diamond once the MLB game is played?
So, the stadium's going to get taken down, but the field will remain. So we'll actually retain possession of the field after the game, and we'll use that for community events, charity events, similar to what we used the original movie site for. But we'll also use it for youth baseball and softball championships and games, and who knows, maybe a minor league team. You never know.
Lovely. That'd be great.
Yeah.
He'd also like to know, are there any plans for the facilities to be upgraded? And if so, how will the charm of the remote country setting be kept?
Yes. So originally, when we bought the movie site, our grand vision is to build and construct a large capacity youth baseball and softball facility around the Field of Dreams movie site, while keeping it fully preserved and keeping that, the nuance of the field and the magic. But we want to, as I said before, the platform. We want to be able to educate the next generation of ball players and have week-long tournaments throughout the summer for kids from 8 to 14 to come out, boys and girls, and girls in baseball as well. Baseball for All is a movement now. So we want to start that as well. We've been holding tournaments from 2000 since 2013, but have not, obviously, you can't have large-scale tournaments on one baseball diamond. So we've been holding them at other facilities, but we're very close to solidifying funding to start the first set of ball fields at the movie site, which will be several football fields away and actually in the corner up on the northeast corner of our property. So we own 197 acres.
Wow.
So there, yeah. So we have right now the setup and the scale will be about 21 ball fields after it's all said and done, with an indoor training complex and high quality equipment, cutting edge training, technology and things like that for these kids to not only become good as athletes and the best athletes that they can be, but also help them reach potential from, a character development standpoint and have curriculum that teaches these kids about financing, right? If they're looking at scholarships for college from colleges and things like that, what to consider and how to balance your budget when you go to college and take that next step in your career, and just basic life lessons that they can carry with them past the tournament.
Good
Because,
stuff.
yeah, yep.
That's great. Another one from David. He'd like to know, do you welcome teams to come and play at the Diamond, and what do they need to do, or what would you recommend they do to achieve this? Now, I think a couple of them have actually been over to location and played there in a tournament. Is it like an invite sort of thing?
There are many different ways to play ball on the field. So that's the beautiful thing, is it's a tourist site, so it's open to anybody. And pretty much nonstop, we have pickup games at the field from people all over. Just people who don't even know each other, never met before, just, hey, can you pitch? Yeah. And then all of a sudden, a game starts, right? And that's the beautiful part, is 4 or 5 hours later, that game is still going. And it's just new people that coming in, filter in and get in the lineup, and everyone gives each other a turn. So, you have pickup games, but if you're looking for an organized game, we do rent the Field of Dreams out from 6 in the evening to 10. And it's just $100 an hour. So very affordable. And we try and make it that way. But that way you have your own night under the lights at the Field of Dreams and can play. We've held a little bit of everything. We've done weddings, bachelor parties, high school reunions, family
Awesome.
reunions, a little bit of everything. But we also get vintage baseball games. So I'm not sure, Matt, how familiar you are with vintage baseball and that movement here in the States, but
No.
there are groups that I don't want to say it's like the Renaissance or anything else like that, but you know, it's they emulate kind of vintage baseball. So they play, they order these vintage uniforms and come out and play honoring the rules of the mid 1800s, right? Mid to late 1800s. So the early days of baseball and kind of the inception of the sport, honoring those rules. And back then they had no gloves. So you have middle-aged guys, you know, coming out and playing baseball and catching these steaming line drives with their bare hands. You know, hearing the stories of some of those guys, how many dislocated fingers and broken, you know, thumbs, and it's just crazy, but they do it because they love it. It's that is something surreal to see.
Yeah, adding medical tent to the list of things I need.
There you go. Yeah, you're gonna need a medical tent for sure.
James Moran is messaging saying, can you please tell Roman that a bunch of us from the UK played on that very field against a bunch of locals? Do you
Oh,
get
that's
many
awesome.
people from overseas, like teams coming to visit?
You know, I wouldn't say as much teams, but just general visitors. Yeah, I mean, we've had people from Australia. Australia is a very popular destination or a country that's well represented at the field, actually, which isn't too surprising because baseball is pretty prevalent there. But, you know, all over Asia too, you know, China and Japan, very, the movie was an instant hit in Japan. I mean, we had film crews a couple weeks after that didn't even speak English were coming hoping to film the inside of the house and do documentaries and everything. It's surreal. But yeah, people from everywhere. We typically get at least several dozen foreign countries represented every year.
And I suppose the last question would be from me. I feel like I robbed our listeners of a really good story about Andy Brown when I mentioned before that I had some lovely Andy Brown artwork. How was it with Randy?
Andy's a great guy. You know, just his story about wanting to go out and travel to every major league diamond was definitely inspired by that last year when he went on that escapade and that journey. So, you know, you find this British chap sitting on the set of bleachers on the third baseline and just with an easel and going to work, and it's like, hey, how are you? You know, totally upbeat guy. And he just loves the sport. It's great to see people from the UK and all over now just representing the sport and how it grows. But no, Andy's a great guy, very intelligent human being, quality individual. So definitely somebody that we hope to have back at the field, Andy, if you're listening.
Yeah, he's a guy I've got a lot of time for as well. Yeah, really is a nice guy. And that brings us to the end of today's sort of conversation. Roman, is there anything that you'd like to add? I always like to leave the last word open to the guest.
Well, first off, Matt, you know, thanks so much for having me on the show, being able to talk about what I love, and that's the field of dreams and the sport of baseball. But also, if you're interested in learning more or visiting the field of dreams, go to our website, fieldofdreamsmoviesite.com, and you can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, pretty much anywhere on social media, not TikTok yet, but Field of Dreams movie site is our handle as well for all of our social media. So definitely check us out if you're interested in Field of Dreams content. We have great images and videos out there. So,
Brilliant. Thank you for giving me your time today to indulge in my crazy fantasy of trying to create one
well,
in
good
the
luck. If
UK.
you need an investor, I might be here.
Yeah, spread the word.
Oh, for sure.
Roman, take care. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Matt.
And there you go. I hope you found that really interesting. And well, more than anything, I hope you found that quite fun. Like I said, I'm not actually planning on doing this until I do find that millionaire that's willing to just give me 5 million quid for no reason. So that we can go ahead and do it, and then we'll all have lots of fun. Everyone can come over and stay at our farmhouse. But until then, why don't you go and check out the Field of Dreams movie site website? Check out what they've got going there. Again, have a look at Andy Brown's stuff. It's got some great pieces of work on there. All the links are in the show notes. And until next week, we're going to talk to BJ DiLorenzo. I hope you all have a safe and socially distant time, and stay safe. Ta-ra.